Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Another tumultuous week, is it not? By the way, before I get started, we have a lot to cover. We have some of the things you need to be kind of watching for, having your radar in terms of any kind of global or U.S. meltdown. I'm going to give you six kind of key flags, and if they go up a flagpole, duck for cover. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the WikiLeaks emails, which have not been discussed. I'm going to tie it all into globalism for you. This is kind of globalism part two. The week before last was globalism part one. I explained globalism in stratospheric terms. All the different elements of the new world order, as some people would call it, that the elites want to put in around the globe. But I'm going to start honing down into the details today, particularly some of the people who are the main movers and shakers behind this, who, by the way, happen to be Hillary's biggest backers and close compatriots. How do you like that? Isn't that amazing? I'm going to give you some of their buzzwords, too. You know, you heard her use diversity several times in the debate and on the stump. Diversity is one of those progressive code words, folks, you know, like climate change and social justice, and they have a plethora. They're great at coming up with words, since words control speech and that controls thought. We've gone over this. Anyway, I'm also going to be talking today. I'm going to update you on what's going on with the steadily worsening relationship with Russia, and some new moves they're making in terms of rattling not only their conventional military saber, but their nuclear military saber around the planet, particularly over toward Europe. I mean, you need to keep a very close eye on this. You know, the U.S. government, who I wouldn't trust as far as I could throw them on anything, is of course, saying, The relationship has deteriorated, and you know it's cold, and it's colder than the Cold War, but not a problem because they're just bluffing, and we're going to do this, that, and the other. Yeah, whatever. I would not underestimate Putin. I would not underestimate the danger of the last 3 months of Obama's presidency. And I have said this for a year and a half: we are in the most dangerous period of American history. Period. And that's not period as in time, that means period at the end of the sentence, that we may see ever. A whole bunch of lines converging at one time. We can hold our breath and hope. And we're going to be talking a little bit about immigration, because that all turns into globalism. It's all part of the globalistic scheme. As Hillary said, a hemisphere without borders. 600 million folks all the way down to Antarctica and all the way up to the Arctic. Come on in. Come on in. I'm going to have some stats and figures on that you have not seen before, guarantee you. Before I get started, I got some very nice emails from folks who listened last week at my pretty emotional opening for about 10 minutes, talking about the passing of one of the greatest generation members, World War II vet. In fact, one of the original folks in the OSS, the precursor to the CIA. But that's yet another tale, which one day maybe I'll tell. And yes, that was my dad. So my dad passed 8 days ago today. died a week ago Friday, and lived a hell of a life, almost 96 years old. The last 3 or 4 months, though he was comfortable, he was not happy, being kind of an active hoss and unable to be active. So, you know, everything happens for the best, and death is the inexorable part of the circle of life, is it not, for all of us? But it does make you think, it does make you reflect, it does make you weigh what's important in your life and how you spend your time. So once again, thank you for all of you who sent condolences, and much appreciated. Now, let's start with today's show. So, look, folks, I want you to know, do you remember the guy, Farouk Saeed? Saeed Farouk, who cares? I mean, you got the you got the name, give or take. And his wife, who was a Muslim radical who snuck in under the non-existent radar of the Obama administration, as I'm sure many hundreds, if not thousands, have done. They were the perpetrators of the San Bernardino terror attack. 14 died, you know, many injured. I mean, their co-workers who had thrown a baby shower for them 6 months before. That should give you an idea of the level of venom in these people. And there were some emails that were leaked by WikiLeaks within the Clinton campaign. First of all, you know, you have Patrick Kennedy out there in the State Department. Now, he was kind of one of the two or three left-hand folks for Hillary Clinton when she was Secretary of State. He was Deputy Assistant Secretary of State. So he is out there communicating with the FBI. And, you know, you have to laugh. She tried to pull it at the debate, too. Every time you bring up these WikiLeaks emails and the damning, absolute, crystal clear portrayal of deceit, lies, globalism, subversion of American interests to international and personal interests, the commission of crimes, including, I would say, treason. The Democrats and Hillary just say, oh, you know, those are Russian hacks and those emails were stolen. Well, great. Let's assume they were Russian hacks and the emails were stolen. I mean, we don't know who hacked them, but they were stolen. Guess what? If they had been honest with the American people, they wouldn't have to be making excuses. In other words, these emails are revealing only what should have been revealed by Hillary and crew. It's real simple. When you're talking about national security, when you are undermining a federal investigation, when you are offering a quid pro quo, even if ultimately denied by the FBI, in other words, they said no, the offer itself is the commission of a crime. And these emails are black and white. And they're not me or you or somebody else or Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or whoever making this up. I mean, this is black and white in their words. And their defense, which is strictly a red herring diversion, which is exactly what they do. Remember, Hillary wrote her thesis on Saul Alinsky, one of the 8 rules that Saul put out there in his handbook for radicals was never admit, always deny, and divert. And that's what they do. So they're getting everybody worked up about the Russians have hacked us and blah, blah. I don't care who hacked them. The facts, Jack, is that the emails say what they say. They show a course of conduct that they show. The course of conduct is devious, unethical, self-motivated, anti-American, treasonous, and criminal. Period. What they're trying to do, of course, is divert from the message in the emails, their own words, and somehow conflate that with how the emails were obtained. Once again, had they been honest with us, they wouldn't have to worry about it. They wouldn't have to be diverting. So this Patrick Kennedy thing, I'm not sure is going to go away. I think you might be hearing about this for a while. And you know, her second excuse on these emails is that the staffers did it. Low-level staffers and da-da-da-da-da. You know, the one guy that the Veritas Project caught on video talking about actually paying $1,500 per agitator to go to Trump rallies and molest and harass and create violence with Trump supporters at Trump rallies. Totally contrived. Which, by the way, makes you think about Black Lives Matter and, you know, Occupy Wall Street. It's all the same, guys. There is a fair number of the agitators, particularly the bust-in agitators, at any of these events, much to the detriment, I might add, of people who are properly protesting, Black Lives Matter's members, even though I don't ascribe to their thought process, who are legitimately concerned and peacefully demonstrating, they undermine their own move, their own cause. All for the politics and personal gain of Hillary and the gain of the Democratic Party. And I might add the propulsion of the ideals of globalism and progressivism. So, this gentleman who is... I think his name is Creamer or Kramer. Doesn't really matter. He's a scumbag. Just like the people who hired him all the way up that campaign. He also talked on this video. You really need to Google it up. I might have it below. The producers might have put it up on the site. I don't know. If it's not on the site, Google it up. Project Veritas. Voter fraud. It'll come right up. It's gotten millions and millions and millions of views. And I might say that they gloat about this. And this isn't a small voter fraud. This isn't, oh yeah, I'm going to get 10 illegal aliens and give them a right to vote. I mean, this is voter fraud on a massive scale. And they talk about how it gets funded. How Hillary screens the money so it can't be tracked back to the DNC. Which, of course, is exactly what she's doing with the foundation. Did you know that this gentleman has been to the White House? Google it up, folks. And you libs who listen to me, you can purse your lips and shake your heads, but these are the facts, Jack. 300 times. And met personally with President Barry Obama. 50 of those times. This is the same president, of course, who told us ISIS was JVs, there's no Islam in ISIS, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your hospital, blah, 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 blah. I don't have to give you the litany. I mean, it could go on forever here. This is the guy who now tells us there's no evidence of voter fraud. There is no voter fraud. Nothing to see here. Move right along. And, of course, the Democrats are the same. Well, let me tell you, folks. It's estimated that 14% of the 11 plus million illegal aliens in this country are voting in our elections, in American elections. They are not Americans. They are not United States citizens. They do not have the right to vote under the Constitution, which, of course, created, paradoxically, voting to begin with. So on one hand, they want to exercise a right to vote given them by a document that, on the other hand, they ignore, which precludes them from exercising that right. I love that hypocrisy. Or should we say criminality, because it is criminal. And the people who propel these folks to the polls, who bust them in, are criminal. Not only are they criminal, they're undermining the very foundations of each of our trusts in this government, in the system. And they don't care. They really don't care. They don't care about that. They don't care about your health, safety, and welfare. Listen, ladies, they don't care about you. You are a vote. You are a statistic. You are nothing more than one of the illegal aliens they bust down to a polling station to illegally vote. That's how much you mean to them. You are a vote. I gave you some stats over the last few weeks. 3.7 million more gals in poverty. Millions more on food stamps. Lowest woman participation rate. The Clinton Foundation pays approximately $80,000 more to their top male folks than their female folks. And that's the facts, Jack. Am I wound up about this? You bet. I got to tell you, the number one scumbag on my hit parade is a thief. I hate thieves. Just hate them. And an illegal vote, folks, is a theft of a vote. It's a theft of your rights. It's a theft of your vote. And it's a theft, really, of kind of the soul of our constitutional republic. And, you know, everybody, I'm going to digress a little bit, everybody was up and down, of course, the progressive press, jumping up and down over Donald saying, well, you know, I'll wait and see how the election comes out, and then I'll let you know if I go by it. Now, he didn't artfully say it. He did the next day. He explained it very well. But what he meant was, if the vote is fair and square, I'm fine, and if the vote is fraudulent, we're going to have a problem. That's what he meant. And how do I know what he meant? Because he was very clear in what he meant the day after. And he's exactly right. He's exactly right. So, anyway, this is a scheme by the Democrats. I use that term kindly, they're progressives, to steal this election. And they have stolen it in the past, folks. I gave you the example, just one example, that meant the passage of Obamacare, which is a total wreck, as you know. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, too, because guess what? They're coming for your retirement account to bail out Obamacare. Shh, you're not supposed to know, but you're going to hear it here first. And they lied about that whole process. I mean, what else is new? The exception to the rule is when somebody tells the truth. That's usually inadvertent or in a stolen email. So we have voter fraud. 2.5 million, give or take, people on voting rolls who don't exist. Live at vacant addresses. Have been dead, some for many, many years. Have more than one residence in more than one state. And I can go on and on. That's 2.5 million votes. You know, if you add 14% of illegal aliens, and you figure that that number is 11 million, that's another 1.5 million. That is 4 million votes. If I remember correctly, Barack Obama won like by 5 million, 6 million against Romney, who was a pathetic candidate. And in the case of local elections, such as the example I've used many times and I'll repeat very quickly here, Al Franken, Minnesota, was elected Democratic, progressive, what a lout he is, to the Senate in the last election. He won by 329 or 349 votes in the whole state. 349 votes. They found out afterwards, and the accounts vary, either 900 or 1,800 felons illegally voted in that election. And although we'll never know, they estimated that 90% of those votes were Democratic. So voter fraud, folks, brought you Obamacare and a host of other things that were passed when, unfortunately, the Dems, along with Obama, controlled the House, Senate, and the presidency. One of the things I want you to understand, they play long ball, these folks. Do you know why Hillary is diverting money? Besides the fact I think she's overly confident about Trump. Diverting money to all these local races, House and particularly Senate. Hey, come on, you guys know your civics. Who confirms Supreme Court justices, folks? The United States Senate. Who confirms federal judges, folks? The United States Senate. Who confirms appeals court judges, folks? The United States Senate. I believe it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. I think if you type judges or district court judges or appeals court judges in the search bar, it might come up. I gave you some amazing stats. What had been 9 of 13 appeals courts leaning conservative has been reduced under Obama to 4 of 13. And you've seen some of the rulings come down lately. I mean, that's all Obama. Stacking the courts. 329 federal judges. These are lifetime appointments, folks. Have been replaced by Obama. Hillary doesn't care about the House of Representatives. That's a diversion. I mean, sure, she'd like to have it. But the bottom line is she doesn't care. She wants the Senate. Because with the Senate, over the course of a year or two, she can change, she can complete the change that Obama started in our judiciary system. Where the vast preponderance of federal judges are libs and or progressives who will change laws to suit their social fantasies. We're not just 9 of the 13 appeals courts, but all 13 are liberal, left-leaning, willing to subvert the Constitution to their whatever they have for social justice. And, of course, the Supreme Court. You know, if you control the Senate, which appoints the judges, or ratifies the appointment of the judges, and then you get the judiciary, then you can just do executive orders, folks. You don't need Congress at all. Who cares about the House of Representatives? They're like powerless. They're neutered. You do an executive order, somebody sues you over it, and then the judges you appointed all the way up, the federal court, the appeals court, the Supreme Court, says, yeah, you can do that. The House is irrelevant. This is their game plan. So you folks that are on the line, you folks that are not voting for Trump, that's a vote for Hillary. That's a vote for what I just described, and that is absolutely their game plan. Obama has demonstrated for the last 8 months. They've talked about it out of the corners of their mouths. They've said lots about executive orders on gun control and all sorts of things, executive orders on this, that, and the other. They've talked a lot about the judiciary, appointment of judges. Put it all together, folks. 2 plus 2 is 4. This is a black and white game plan, blueprint. There's no doubt about it whatsoever. And, of course, then she can do amnesty. You know, it all ties in, because then she can do the amnesty, the open borders, get even more folks in here, give them voting rights, never mind voting illegally. And the balance of power will be forever shifted. America as we know it, as the founders intended, as the Constitution mandates, will be gone. with absolutely nothing to stand in their way. Nothing. I suppose the House would have the right, if they had the balls. Oh, did I say a bad word? My producer, her eyes are wide. If they have the cojones, let me be PC. If they have the cojones to shut down all the money, but boy, they haven't seemed willing to do that. None of these current folks. And you know, if it's not controlled by so-called Republicans, it's never going to happen. There's not even a hope, however dim. And this all ties into globalism. The open borders, the free trade, Hillary's dream I'm going to talk about a little bit here, which she stated to a Brazilian bank, of a open hemisphere with open borders and open trade, and kumbaya. And the word diversity. You heard her use that. Everybody uses it. Diversity is a real cool world. It's a progressive deal. Diversity, folks, means, I'll make this really easy, and all you got to do is read their emails that WikiLeaks has leaked. Diversity means way less whites and way more people who are not white. Whether they're Asians or they're brown-skinned South Americans or they're African-American, it doesn't matter. Syrians. That is what diversity means to a progressive. Because the white man, as Michelle Obama told us before they miraculously got elected, the white man is kind of the root of all evil. That's right. There were never any Arab slave traders, I guess, huh? There was never any brutality or slave or enslavement between the African tribes, or for that matter, the American Indians. You know, as a historian and historical fiction writer, I do lots of research. Slavery was rampant for thousands of years, going back to the pharaohs and before America came along. And ironically, America is one of the few countries in history that fought a bloody civil war over slavery to abolish it. There were other things, obviously, states' rights, etc., but that was the key ingredient. Yet we're bad. We got to pay reparations, retribution, redistribution, social justice. Yeah. All right. So there's an amazing email that came out. But this is between Podesta, who I've talked to, you know, put his name in the search bar on the radio show. I told you about this guy 3 years ago when he was head of the American Progress Group. A Soros lackey, just like Hillary. Center for American Progress is funded by Soros. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Soros, in many ways, may be one of the most evil men on the planet, because he finances all the other evil guys. And to me, anybody who wants to take somebody else's rights for their own benefit, rather than allowing everybody to live and let live, is evil. Let me give you my definition. When you take away a right, whether it's life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, whatever, it could be much more mundane. That is stealing. That's like voter fraud. It's stealing people's rights for your own gain. There's nothing more evil than that. Materially adversely affecting other people's lives. When you have no natural right to do so, other than position, power, corruption and more money than they do. Anyway, this is Clinton campaign spokeswoman, Karen Finney. This is an email exchange between she and Podesta. So they found out shortly after, during the day of that attack in San Bernardino, that this guy was Muslim. And that he was an extremist. And that his wife was an extremist plant. And the emails they exchanged, when they first found that out, she writes him and says, "Damn." Making it clear how disappointing. And he writes back to her. You got to listen to this. Quote, "Better if a guy named Saeed Farouk was reporting that a guy named Christopher Hayes was the shooter." In other words, they were upset that the shooters in this tragedy, they didn't care about the tragedy, they didn't care about the people, they didn't care about the community, they didn't care about any of that. All they cared about was the fact, all they were sad about was the fact was that the shooter was a Muslim rather than a white guy. It's all in the emails. Which they don't want you to look at because they're stolen. Anyway. I found that pretty damn interesting. And you know, in that speech, in that speech and other speeches, there's a speech that Hillary Clinton gave to Goldman Sachs that's also come out in the WikiLeaks. You know, those emails you're not supposed to read. There was a rumor floating around that CNN actually told their viewers it was illegal to read them because they were illegally obtained. Wow. Clinton News Network. This is a quote from Hillary Clinton addressing Goldman Sachs. And I'm just going to go through it very quickly. "What I really resent most about the obstructionists," by the way, obstructionists are conservatives. She made that clear earlier in the speech. "They have such influence in America in a way that is no longer reflective of the reality of who we are. Their reasons have to do with the past, not the future. They cut everything, you know, laying off, you know, young researchers, etc. We're better at this than anybody in the world. We're better than this backward-looking view of America. And they play on people's fears because they don't want to be rejected. I don't care what they call themselves because they're fundamentally un-American." Boy, she apologized for her deplorable comment 2 years after she gave this speech, but the apology was another lie. This is how she feels. This is how they feel. You remember Obama's comment? They cling stubbornly to their guns and religion. This is what they're talking about, folks. They're talking about you and me. They despise us. And they despise our rights. And they will do anything they can to subvert their rights, our rights, into their gain. Anything they can. So, I think these emails have been, they haven't been eye-openers for me, but boy, they have sure underscored, underlined, capitalized, boldened, and italicized what I've always known to be true about progressives, Clinton, Obama, that whole cabal. Now, Clinton is great friends with, and Podesta, of course, was a lackey of, a guy by the name of George Soros. And I've talked about him in the past, several years ago. Warned you about him. I think if you type in the search bar George Soros, you'll get several shows to come up. George Soros is reputed to be worth somewhere around $24 billion by Forbes. He's obviously one of the wealthiest folks in the world. One of the wealthiest, I'm not going to give him the distinction of the word liberal, progressives in the world. And he's more than that. He's a Hungarian immigrant who got U.S. citizenship, made the entirety of his $24 billion from the United States, a country which he obviously loathes and despises. I find it amazing. One of his favorite terms is international governance. He's been to the White House to meet with Obama 80 times plus. He and Hillary have dinner. Podesta more or less worked for him at the American Center for Progress. He wants open borders, increased Muslim immigration, diminish U.S. global power. And part of this is that his money, which finances a plethora, dozens of left-wing think tanks, media outlets, you name it, all of which play critical roles in propelling Democrats to votes. And he pumps millions and millions and millions of dollars into Democratic campaigns directly. He owns these people. He owns them. And he knows it. Remember when Hillary at the debate on Wednesday? Remember when she said, oh, we have to stop this dark money? This is the queen of dark money. The queen. The exalted ruler of the universe, queen of dark money. Whether it's in her campaign, whether it's from her campaign to pay fomenters of violence and perpetrators of wide-scale organized voter fraud, or whether it's from people like Soros, the queen. But progressives are great at that. They're great at accusing you of what they do to get everybody's eyes off of them. That's what they do. Very effectively. Particularly with somebody like Donald Trump, who unfortunately often falls for the bait, although he did pretty good in debate number 3. In her speech to this bank in Brazil, and it was the bank, I'll come up with the name here for you. But anyway, in her speech, May 16th, 2013, folks, May 16th, 2013, that's 3 years ago. Quote, my dream is a hemispheric common market with open trade and open borders, sometime in the future with energy that is as green and sustainable as we can get it, powering growth and opportunity for every person in the hemisphere, unquote, especially me. That wasn't part of her speech. I added that. So, what I want you, here's what Soros wrote in 1998. Quote, the sovereignty of states must be subordinated to international law and international institutions. I think that's kind of clear. He goes on to say in that same paper, quote, we need some global system of political decision making. In short, we need a global society to support our global economy. Well, I wonder who's benefiting from this global economy. Could it be the billionaires, like Mr. Soros? I bet it is. Follow the money. But I think there's more going on with him. He has the ideology, the hatred of America, a whole bunch of other ingredients. But let's face it, he is motivated by greed. And a global economy gives his $24 billion greater reach. In the hacked emails from John Podesta, that's Clinton's campaign chairman, we just talked about him, Soros' name comes up 60 times. 60 times. That's just what's been released so far. That's just what's been counted so far. He's had dinner with her. He's had her to his liberal group's fundraisers. Her campaign manager, another leaked email, Robbie Mook, M-O-O-K, wrote in an email, quote, I would only do this for political reasons to make Soros happy, unquote. Gee, you think Soros has a little influence with the progressives and Hillary? representative, he's a Republican representative, Duncan Hunter from California, quote, publicly, he's talking about Clinton and Soros. It's a relationship she never really talked up, but communications, at least now, reveal how closely aligned they are. And Americans deserve to know that a Clinton presidency means even more direct influence from George Soros. And as for an agenda, there probably won't be much daylight between the two, and Americans should be concerned that a vote for Clinton is no different than a vote for George Soros for president. And you know what? Representative Hunter is exactly right. And that is why Mr. Soros is pumping hundreds of millions into these organizations and campaigns. So, some of the things that he has funded, by the way, they have funded anti-police protests, including violent ones, rhetorical attacks on conservatives, stuff at the universities which just make your eyes cross when you hear about it, media, open border initiatives, control of journalists' reporting. He got close to the Clintons when Clinton, Mr. Clinton, Bill, baby, became president. And he funneled millions of dollars to their campaigns. I'll quote George Soros. You don't have to listen to me. Quote, and this is from his PBS interview in 1995. Feel free to Google up and listen to it, particularly you libs out there who are pursing your lips. Quote, I do now have great access in the Clinton administration. Unquote. There is no question. This is another quote. There is no question about this. We actually work together. Well, do I need to say more, folks? One of his foundations, just one, gave $6 million to the Clinton Foundation. I think we all kind of know about the Clinton Foundation now, right? And helps them get these $250,000 an hour speech engagements. He gives money to Media Matters, MoveOn.org, which, by the way, organized the protests at the Trump rallies. The Center for American Progress, right? This is Podesta's old position before he went to work for Obama and now works for Hillary. Clinton's private and public comments. The private ones, of course, are coming out now. Remember what she said to another, yet another bank? I have to have a public position, but it's not really my private position. You really need both positions, a public and a private. Which is, let's make this really easy and boil it down. You know, I'm an author. Is, I need to lie to get elected. That's all she really had to say. So, Clinton has absorbed Soros' blueprint, folks. He calls the blueprint open societies, quote-unquote, open societies. I call it globalism. Other people call it the New World Order. I don't care what you call it. It's kind of like God, Allah, Buddha, Jehovah. It doesn't matter, okay? It is globalism. And globalism is the antithesis to sovereignty. It is the subordination of your individual rights to a collective global. The surrender of your national rights to a collective global. And the collective global, of course, is run by the wealthy cabal of progressive, open society, globalist, New World Order, whatever you want to call it, folks, which include Barack Obama, George Soros, Hillary Clinton, and a host of others. I'm just kind of focused on them right now. And it includes, unfortunately, virtually every leader in the Western world. I mean, just about every leader. By the way, his open society's vision, globalism, New World Order, is actively touted, financed, funded, and spread through his Open Society's foundation, which, of course, he, like the Clintons, does a little bit of philanthropy and a whole bunch of politics. By the way, Soros has complained of national borders as a, quote, impediment to world-ruling bodies, unquote. He finances 7 different outfits just in the United States, folks, that promote open borders, mass immigration, etc. If you want to know a good book about this and who's really running the Democratic Party, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, the progressives, in other words, what the Democratic Party really is, not the shell that they show you, but what it really is, there's a great book. And it's called Shadow Party by David Horowitz and Richard Poe, P-O-E. David Horowitz and Richard Poe, Shadow Party. Well, look, in 2003, just to show you what a liar Hillary is, to get elected then, she said she was adamantly opposed to illegal immigration, except that's not true. She's been for open borders forever. She simply says the private and the public face, you know, which she admitted to. She simply said that to get elected. She wants open borders. And she's going to get them. And she's going to get them, if she doesn't get them legislatively, folks, she's going to get them through executive order, which is upheld by judiciary. She's going to stack. It's a scary deal. Scary deal. By the way, if you don't think that these people think that illegal aliens, non-U.S. citizens who got here by breaking the laws of this country, and of course, progressives are the first to tout the rule of law, if you don't think that they don't want these people to vote, that they don't think they have a right to get them to vote, and that they have a right to vote regardless of their nationality or our laws. One of Podesta's emails, you can probably Google this up too, explains how illegal immigrants can vote by obtaining driver's licenses, attesting to U.S. citizenship at the polls, or mailing in early ballots with the box checked, "I am not an illegal alien." But there's no voter fraud, guys. Don't worry about it. No. Look the other way. Barry says it's okay. Yep. All right. That'll give you a little bit, kind of lesson two on globalism. Who one of the big American financiers, pushers, backers, and puppeteers, because he has everybody dancing on a string, is here in the United States. There's others around the world. Mr. Soros is, unfortunately, not alone. So, did you know that there is going to be... Hillary has selected some people, or made preliminary selections of certain people. One of the Wall Street jokers that she is looking at for Treasury Secretary let slip the other day. I'm going to have more on this for you here in the next week or two. I talked to you about, if you put in My IRA, M-Y-R-R-I-R-A, My IRA, in the search bar, you might be able to find that show. I'm not sure to call it up. I told you about these My IRAs, which Obama has been pushing for the last 2 years, where you take your money out of your private retirement account, you put it in a government GIC, which pays you a 3% or whatever rate it is. In other words, a little bit higher rate than you're going to get just having the money sit somewhere else, you know, the enticement. Of course, they're paying you interest with money they're printing and then taxing you for the difference. But put that aside. Minor point. Minor. You're paying yourself your own interest, but minor point. Let's move right along. Anyway, this guy talked about Obamacare being easy to bail out. After all, we have $25 trillion sitting in private pension and retirement accounts. Now, folks, connect the dots. You have the President of the United States for the last several years talking about the My IRA. You have a government that is broke and desperate for money. You have progressives in charge of the government who need money to buy votes to stay in charge. You have a broken healthcare system, one of the primary needs of people. I mean, you know, healthcare is, your health is kind of number one. And you got all these folks, remember those words, reparation, retribution, redistribution. You got all these folks who don't have diversity with $25 trillion in their savings, in their retirement accounts. Isn't that a tempting target? You bet. I'll have more for you on that, but that's a coming, folks. That's a coming. And it's coming fast if Hillary gets in. Really fast. By the way, in terms of this diversity thing, I want you to understand that this whole open borders, illegal immigration, etc., is way more than just votes. That's part of it, an important part. But here's what's more important. It is, as I have said on previous shows, to change the culture, the language, the values, the mores, and the foundations of American society. 30 years ago, 1 in 21, give or take a year, 1 in 21 immigrants, 1 in 21, or 1 in 21 people in the United States was an illegal alien or an immigrant, somebody from a foreign land. Now, legal immigrants, guys and gals who went through all the steps properly, and God bless them. Legal immigrants are now 1 in 7 of the people in this country. If you add in illegal immigrants, even using the 11 million figure, it goes down to like 1 in 6. Do you see the dilution that is occurring? And it's occurring on purpose. Occurring on purpose. You know, under our current immigration system, there's about 1 million people. I think it's 1 million to 1.2 million. And that doesn't count certain types of visas, etc. It's probably closer to 2 million with all that stuff. But there's like 1.1 million, 1.2 million people who, following the law, following the path to citizenship, become United States citizens every year. Right in that neighborhood. Obviously, it goes up and down. And over a 10-year period, that's roughly 12 million new people in this place. And I'm all for it. I mean, I think it rocks. And I think these immigrants, I mean, I write, my historical fiction is about this. I believe in it wholeheartedly. It is our strength, but it's from legal immigrants. Now, if you add in an illegal surge, just think about how quickly the population changes. The mix of population changes. The values of society change. This is what these guys are after, and this is what they really mean when they say diversity, which you will hear her use often. Often. All right. I've done my little stint on immigration, what the real intent is, how it fits into globalism, New World Order, open societies, you know, but now much more about George Soros than you probably knew in the past and how this all works, and some other goodies along those lines. I'm going to finish up the show today by telling you 6 things, a minimum of 6, you really, 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 really need to keep your eye on, because any one of them could start a rather precipitous economic downturn, not just in the United States, but basically all over. Number one, the presidential election. Who knows how this is going to come out? Who knows what will happen in the days after the election? Who knows what advantage our adversaries, including Russia, which I'm going to finish up the show with, will take during the election, during the last 3 months of Obama's term, and during the transition process to a new president, whoever he or she may be. The Federal Reserve just might actually finally raise rates in December. And all those folks out there who've been running around and all this easy money are going to spook. And who knows how big the spook is going to be. Sometime between now and then, we're going to have a whole bunch of economic reports. Now, forget the trumped up, puffed up, blown up, artificial lies that we've been given for the months leading up to the election. Now it's going to be the time for revisions of all those reports. I've talked about it on many shows. It's like clockwork. That could have, depending upon what the reports say, how many of them are downgraded, etc., and earnings at companies, you name it. It might be overshadowed a little bit by the Christmas season, but maybe not, I don't know. It's something to watch. Okay, we have the Deutsche Bank problem in Germany. Talked about that at length, I believe, 3 weeks ago. Just type it in, Deutsche Bank. D-E-U-T-S-C-H-E, Deutsche Bank. It would be many times the collapse of Lehman Brothers, which kind of was the straw that broke the camel's back in the 2008 fiasco. We have a massive Chinese real estate bubble. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds of thousands of residential units. Hundreds of thousands. Millions of square feet of commercial and industrial and who knows what that is literally sitting vacant in China. And they have been doing what the Federal Reserve has been doing here with the overall economy. They've been doing with the real estate portion of their economy, and that's trying to pump it up with all sorts of this, that, and the other, which in the end just makes what's going to happen anyway, worse. So it's kind of like you take the subprime crisis here that brought about 2008, by the way, a product not of lower taxes, as Hillary says, but actually of Bill Clinton's signing of the Community Reinvestment Act, which he's admitted on TV in November 2008. The subprime crisis here is the same thing going over there, but 10x over there. Who knows how and when that will come down. It's going to come down. And then, of course, you have, and I talked about this when I talked about Deutsche Bank, you have Italy's, like, collapsing banking system. And you have the vote by Italy to perhaps leave the European Union on December 4th. And then the last thing you really have to watch, I think, is the Russians. The Russians, I kind of brought you, I've been bringing up to speed a little bit over the last 2 weeks, because just, you know, you get passing comment on the from the major media, passing, oh, well, our relationships are not good, and, you know, well, Kerry got a pie in his face from this guy. I mean, you know, they're not telling you the deal, folks. This is a real deal. Now, I have friends in the military, longtime acquaintances. And I can tell you that there are many units, whole divisions, that are on 12-hour standby right now, as of several weeks ago. 12-hour standby. There's a military term for it. I'm not going to bore you with it. The bottom line is they make the call. You're back at base in 12 hours, and the unit moves out in 24. Rapid deployment. Entire divisions. This is a lot of men and equipment. Now, I don't think they're going to be flying them to Mosul. And I don't think they're going to be sending him into Guantanamo to hold down the fort. And I certainly don't think they're going to be sending him over, you know, to drink wine in Paris. So who knows where these poor guys and gals are going to go. But they are getting him ready to go. And I think it is our friends, the Russians. Mitt Romney, God bless his heart, whom I've lost all respect for over this election cycle. I've told you about that. However, give him his due. He was in that debate with Obama, and Obama laughed at him when Romney said that our greatest geopolitical threat is Russia. And Obama said, oh, you live in the past. You live in the past. Well, here we are. Mitt Baby was right. And any watcher of international politics would have known so. So just in the last week, the Russians have pulled out of two nuclear arms treaties, including one of the treaties that Hillary Clinton was touting at the debate she got done. I guess she forgot to mention that. They have moved air defense missile systems and missile cruisers into Syria and the entire area around Syria, including the Red and Baltic Seas. And, you know, hey, listen, I'll take the government at its word. And they've committed all these hacks of our email systems. One can only wonder just how much stuff they have and what they can easily obtain. That's scary. They've moved missiles closer to the border of Poland, including truck-mounted missiles capable of carrying nuclear warheads. State media in Russia, the CNN of Russia, state media in Russia have been flashing news bulletins, which boiled down remind civilians to familiarize themselves with their fallout shelters, their bomb shelters, their food storage and supplies in event of war, and which government bodies would take command in the event of war. Last week, Russia moved nuclear-capable Iskander ballistic missiles next to Poland and Estonia. Of course, they say these are just normal military maneuvers. Of course. This is exactly, by the way, what the Japanese, of course, told Franklin Delano Roosevelt when the two envoys literally were meeting with him the day before the Pearl Harbor attack. The day before the Pearl Harbor attack. And had another meeting with him as the attack was going on. Of course, he didn't know. There was no internet. He found out, the rumor has it, during the course of that meeting and kicked them out. Anyway, I digress. I told you already the Kremlin has told all high-ranking officials around the world to get their families back to the motherland or the fatherland, depending upon which report you read. And they are also ordering now, starting this week, some of their officials, not just the families, but officials home. They tested a bunch of intercontinental ballistic missiles just last Wednesday. Just last Wednesday, 4 days ago. They fired a nuclear-capable rocket from a Pacific Fleet submarine into the Sea of Okhotsk, O-K-H-O-T-S-K, north of Japan. And a Topol missile was shot off a submarine in the Barents Sea. And another was launched from another submarine in the Inland Sea in the northwest part of the Russian Federation. So, anyway, they also just concluded joint military exercises with China in the South China Sea, which you know is a flashpoint between the United States and its allies, such that we have any more now. It's a flashpoint, and they've just got done conducting joint military exercises there. Anyway, these are things for you to keep your eye on. You know, don't be completely diverted by the humdrum and roar of this roly-poly election season, or the drip, drip, drip of your everyday life. These are big picture, these are stratospheric items that could have immense effect on you. So stay abreast of them. In the meantime, folks, you have a great week. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Stay safe, stay happy.
Please remember, if you miss any shows, just click on show archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.